SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
I'm joined by Jodi Rala, recipient of a 3-month Galang Art Residency Program at the Cité Internationale des Arts in Paris. Jodi, welcome to NITV Radio and SBS French.
Yoa, and thank you. I appreciate that. It's a real honor, and I just can't tell you how grateful I am for the opportunity.
It says that your residency will focus on tactile languages in art. Can you explain how you see these elements translating into your artistic practice?
I feel like there are a lot of crossovers already. It's something that I have a particular area of interest in my arts practice and also in cultural practice. When we think about interacting with our artifacts, interacting with works that our ancestors have made, what drew me into the idea of learning more and investigating Braille, these tactile languages, is because of the tactile element that we have in artifacts. When we feel these works, there's element of, I think, genetic memory that comes to this feeling. The touch, the sensibility is different. It's also, I think, inclusive. Sometimes there are no words that can really describe the sensation of touch. And I think that's the interesting thing about these tactile languages. We're trying to translate those sensations into comprehensive language that we can all understand. So my interest in exploring this further is to gain some more insight and learnings into how Braille came about, how this tactile language was established, and how that can be translated across other cultures and into the arts, and how that may be applied in immersive art spaces where we might be able to engage with tactile elements in installation. I also think about the work that I make in both intimate forms. So I make koulamons, these koulamons out of ceramic forms called ceramic and clay bodies. Often work with elders in this process so that the hands of the maker is really embedded in these koulamons, the marks that are made, the type of clay bodies that are used, any ochres that are applied to the clays before they're slung and made into these koulamons, these beautiful vessels that we've used for many thousands of years to carry infants for bread making purposes and for agricultural purposes. But for me, the opportunity to be able to do this and learn about how we can embrace those tactile languages and how that can lead to inclusive spaces of understanding how language can be felt when we interact with artifacts, when we interact with objects and art in general, and then how that can be translated in a tactile installation space.
Now, you mentioned using haptic art for cultural preservation. Can you elaborate on how this approach can benefit your community?
I believe that learning more about the tactile language can give us some insight into how we can interact with these artifacts from museums and archives and even just our own family collections and understand more about the tactility of these languages. My train of thought was thinking about Braille in the sense of how is it pronounced in français, sorry?
Braille.
Braille. I'll remember that.
Yeah.
Braille.
Yep.
Braille. Yep. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I've practiced to do. When I think about how Braille was established and how it was created through this codex system, I think about our First Nations cultures here, we have these symbols and these codes of importance that are they're embedded into objects and artifacts. And when I think about a tactile language like Braille, how that has been developed into a language with a numeric system, I'm thinking about how we can apply that and how we can read more in our across our First Nations cultures. So for me, I'm thinking about how we can interact with artifacts that are already established and try to understand, taking that, you know, understanding from and learnings from Braille, and then applying that to trying to understand how these systems were created by our First Nations cultures here, more specifically to where I am, which would be Yuggera, Yuggerable country. So that's where my family, where my family are from.
Where it started, in New South Wales, which part of New South Wales?
Oh, it's in Brisbane, actually.
Okay, I thought it was because Parramatta, you see.
No, we have over 250 First Nations cultures in Australia. I like to explain it, like think about like Europe. It's all these knotted nations dotted next to each other and on this continent. Yeah. In Australia, we have the same. In our First Nations cultures, there are hundreds of nations. So I feel like this is why it's important for us to be able to undertake this kind of work. So we can gain more of an insight to where, unfortunately, a lot of information has moved on with our old ones. Yeah. So it's important to be able, us younger ones, to be able to learn and to undertake the kind of research. So there's this research component of it, but then there's also the art and the making. And the making part of it is, as I mentioned, a haptic process where you're using your hands to engage and make. And often we do this intergenerationally. So, you know, you'll do this with your parents, your grandparents, brothers, sisters, cousins. You know, it's a real communal kind of
activity, making.
And it's through these marks that we can learn and establish codex systems so that we might have a resurgence of these tactile languages.
Yeah, I looked at your residency proposal. How do you envision creating immersive experiences, and what impact do you hope they will have?
I suppose my first step is to learn and immerse myself in French culture and learn more about where I'll be going and throw myself into the learnings. I'm there as a learner, you know, I'm there to really take that on board and to explore that through my arts practice. How I imagine inviting people into the space is through collaborative spaces. So I acknowledge that, you know, I'm on someone else's country. This is not my home. And I'd like to engage with locals and people who can come into the space and perhaps weave with me or make some clay work with me. By the end of the residency, I envision the gallery space to be occupied by this array of artwork that just you can walk through in either clay or woven form. A few of these things as well, I think, are going to be really led by my time in the residency. So it's a little hard to say exactly what
it's
that might look
months,
like.
3 months. 3 months. And when are you going there, by the way?
I am leaving in May, so just not long.
Okay, so you'll be there in European spring, 3 months. So you'll have a bit of spring, a bit of summer. Well, yeah, so you'll have two summers this year. Two springs and two summers.
I will. That's right. Wow. That's right.
It's a beautiful time. It's a really, really, really very good time of the year to be in Paris, and I hope you'll enjoy it.
Coming back,
it'll be really nice to be there at that time. And coming back to the residency, this residency involves collaboration. Do you want to seek out collaborations with Parisian artists or cultural institutions during your stay in Paris?
If the opportunity arises, yeah, I would really, really like to explore those options. I think that's kind of what happens during the stage of the residency, though, because when you're over there, you develop the relationships, you know, and I think if anybody was open to that, but it's
Yeah.
definitely something I'm open to.
There's something you'll definitely do. Please stay in touch, and if there's anything developing that you find really interesting, share with us. I'm happy to share it with our listeners as well. So let us know so we can inform our audiences about all this.
I would be happy to share that with you.
Definitely, definitely. Now, this residency will offer you really a unique opportunity. How do you see this residency impacting your artistic journey and community engagement?
Well, I think this is an incredible opportunity to learn and to be able to learn more about an area and in another culture and another place that I can bring back and then share with my community through my arts practice in both intimate forms and, like I mentioned, in larger spaces too. I work a lot in the public art realms up here in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Specifically with my elders and traditional custodians, so that we might re-embed our stories back into the architecture, back into place, back into the country they were born from, to create really inclusive spaces where people can learn and experience our culture, to engage and to encode spaces where we might be able to use the stone arrangement in Woolloongabba, to name one of them, that is upcoming, which will be installed at the end of the year. I see this as an opportunity to be able to really learn and to be able to share this, so that we might be able to understand better the nature of tactile languages and how that can be applied here, how we can use creation methodologies and make art in spaces and share that.
What are some of the challenges you anticipate facing during your residency, and what are your main goals for the creative exploration you're embarking on?
Well, for one, it's going to
yeah.
be the language. I'm starting to learn French. I learned a little bit during my time in New Caledonia a number of years ago, a little bit.
Non, ça va aller, ça devrait bien se passer. You should be fine. Yeah, you should be fine.
I know little bits. Esco, sorry, back to
it. No, that's okay.
So one of the challenges is going to be language, which I'm very excited for. I love languages. I just with the nature of First Nations languages here, I'm learning more about Yagara language, which, you know, we don't have really many fluent speakers left. It's important for us to learn more about the language and the country you come from.
When you have an opportunity to speak to French people, mm-hmm. explain to them the situation with indigenous languages, because a lot of them are on the verge of extinction.
Yeah.
But there is a very vibrant move to reawaken the languages. So there's something that's maybe missing in people's understanding of Australia. It's a nice place. The weather is always fine. European settlement was peaceful and smooth, and then the creation of this modern, that's the image that most people have of overseas. So the loss of language is something that people learn and benefit from learning, actually, that hundreds of languages are on the verge of extinction. So, yeah.
Well, that's why it's so important to be able to share it and to embrace it so we can keep it alive.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're right. There's this rose-colored image. Unfortunately, it's this rose-colored glass. But I think the hard truth is that Australia was born on the civilization of hundreds, if not thousands, of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures.
Yeah.
That's multiple. Think of it like Europe, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's so much opportunity to be had to collaborate and to make a better place here that's inclusive for everybody. But we need to be able to recognize where we'll come from, you know, what's happened in the history.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we need to recognize the resilience of our peoples. We need to recognize where these stories come from and the real traumas that we've had to face to be able to be here today.
And the resilience.
You know? Absolutely. Resilience and perseverance, adapting to cultures. You know, we talk a lot about traditional and contemporary cultures, this idea of two distinct realms, but really it's the adapting. We have to, maybe we don't have access to a particular material anymore because it was blown up by a mine, or you know, there's a big building site there now. But maybe we can tell those stories using different materials. So we're adapting it into this other kind of storytelling mode. This is perhaps a global story about colonization in general, but it's an important tale that we need to, I think, understand, and then also understand about what we want our futures to look like. How can we make spaces that are going to truth tell, but really embed place identity, you know, and talk about the story of materials, talk about the story of place, talk about relationships and how we can have these exciting places where languages meet. What do we want our future to look like for our kids? What kind of world do we want them to grow up in?
And what advice would you give to younger artists and to aspiring Indigenous artists who want to create art with a social or cultural purpose, not just art for the sake of art, but art with a purpose?
I would say, number one, recognize that there's no distinction. If you're Indigenous or you're wherever you're from, you know, because I'm an Indigenous person, the artwork that I'm going to make, irregardless of what it's about, it's Indigenous because I am. It's, you know, so I would say to all those young ones coming up, don't feel like you have to make it look a specific way. Just be yourself. Learn about where you come from, where your mob are from, who you're from, where you're from. Learn what you can, be open, and go for it, because we live in a place now where we have access to opportunities. I was absolutely just blown away to have this opportunity. And we have those kind of opportunities today. You know what I'm saying? Like, are we, my parents' generation, they didn't have that. These opportunities didn't exist. So we should go for it.
Now, the Galang residency, which will be, luckily you'll be staying in Paris, and it's a nice place. Artistically, it's a really a very significant place, and the residency offers significant support. Can you share what this opportunity means to you? You just mentioned a little bit of it, but tell us more about what this means to you and your artistic development.
Paris is known to be the arts hub of the world. You know, it's one of the centers of arts globally. The opportunity for me, on a professional and a personal note, to have the opportunity to see how arts and culture work in another society. Because I think arts and culture are the driving force that go through every area of our civilization. And one of the things that I'm most excited to see is how that works in another place, and specifically in France, in this, again, like this arts and cultural hub globally. On a professional level, I think this is an incredible opportunity to gain insight into that. So on a personal level, I feel deeply grateful to be able to do that. And my aunties keep saying, they're like, oh, we can we, you know, we've got to come over and we're going to come join you, which I love. It's, I think, really important to think about the kind of impact that that makes, not just on me as a as an individual, but and an artist, but on a communal level.
Well, Jodi Rala, recipient of our 3 months Galang Art Residency program at the Cité Internationale des Arts in Paris. Congratulations once again, and thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to us on ITV Radio and SBS French. We wish you a good stay in Paris.
Merci beaucoup. Well,
Okay.
thank you.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.